There are three things that darkness cannot contain: the moon, the stars, and the truth. All three will find their way through the darkness. Truth will often pierce its way through in unexpected ways, at unexpected times, and sometimes through unexpected people. Hello, my name is Lenora Housie, and you're listening to Secrets of the Churched, Revealed to Heal. Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Secrets and to part two of my conversation with Elena. There were three children, Carol, Elena, and David, whose father left to go pick up a prescription and didn't return for decades. Elena's brother David, by the way, was still in his mother's womb when their father left, and he met his father for the first time when he was an adult. You're going to hear about how this meeting went for all three of them and the deathbed confession that led yet another brother to meet these siblings. Siblings that he never knew existed. Well, welcome back. Thank you for joining me again on part two of our conversation about your family and how it evolved and how you met other people that whose DNA you share. But when we last left this conversation, you were talking about your cousin who made a phone call to your biological father and said, hey, you've got three children here. Do you want to meet them? And he did. You said he was living where? In New York at the time?
I believe Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how much time was there between this phone call and him making his way to Baltimore to meet you all?
I think the phone call was like, we spoke to him in between.
You
he
did.
Was living with a woman named Carmen, and she was had an accent and very friendly, like super sweet, you know, just really just like a just a nice woman, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe had three or four phone calls until he came down.
What were you feeling? Were you involved in the phone calls? Was it a conversation? Was it awkward?
It was awkward. It's like talking to a stranger, right? I mean, it's not like I knew my grandparents from him and things like that. It was just his siblings that I knew, you know, and only really one real well, my Aunt Elizabeth. And she passed when I was 18.
But it was her daughter who made the phone call.
No, it's her niece. It was another.
Oh, her niece. It's another.
Her daughter is Loretta. Is one that kind of stepped into the role as an aunt when her mother passed. And I mean, it's just like what you do, how you do, what you're doing, you know, not a whole lot. It was like kind of lighthearted. It wasn't really like prying questions. It was just kind of lighthearted, easy.
Mm-hmm. And this he decided on the phone.
Right. And he mm-hmm. decided he was going to come down. I think he came down that April. And Loretta hosted him. She had us there.
Loretta, your cousin slash aunt.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Slash bossy. Yeah, she had us there for the meet and greet. It was my sister, my brother, and I.
Okay. Think back to that day when you're on your way to your cousin slash aunt Loretta's house. What were you thinking? What were you feeling as you were in the car, riding over, driving over? Like, I'm getting ready to go meet my father, because you were two when he left. Uh-huh. You had no memories of him, I'm assuming.
None.
So what were you thinking?
Like, I'll finally see who I look like, because when I go to reunions, you know, people clearly say, girl, you are Neil. Like, you know, so I'm going to finally see. Even my mom would say, you know, you look just like your funny looking father or something. You know how mothers are. You know, and so, and just
had you not seen Elena, had you seen pictures of him?
Yeah, I actually have my parents' wedding picture. My brother looks exactly like him, and I look like my brother, or my brother looks like me.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw pictures. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to hear his voice, you know, just like kind of just that weird curiosity, I think, when people, you just want to know, you know?
You want to
so
know.
So my brother was like, even though he's 2 years younger than me, 4 years younger than Carl, he was like, ow.
So he never knew him because your mother was pregnant with him when your father left.
Right. And he was like, I'll go up first.
Really?
He said, I've always protected you. Because my brother was the kind who bust somebody in here with a skate for messing with his sister.
Dear.
He was
dear.
That guy. Yeah. So
he was younger, but he was your protector. I've got one of those.
So he said, I've always protected y'all. I'm going up first. You know?
You all rode over there together. And
yeah, but he went up into the apartment first.
Is that
so
right?
We didn't go upstairs. He went up.
Okay. But you're in the car. What was your older sister saying, Carolyn?
We didn't drive together. You know, we all came from our own separate homes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody was just anxious. You know, my mother knew he was coming. You know, my father, my dad knew. Yeah, my dad knew he was coming. Like, everybody knew he was coming. Bonnie knew he was coming. You know, like, everybody knew. Like,
right.
And then all the family on the Neil side, you know, they knew he was coming.
They knew he was coming. Although all those years, they didn't know where he was. They didn't know where he was.
But Loretta had spread the word. But Dave went up. David went up and met him first.
Mm-hmm. How long was he there before you guys joined him in the apartment?
I think Dave probably was upstairs 15 minutes or so with him. You know, and David's very cut and dry. Basically, was like, where the AG been at, man?
that's the kind of reaction that I think.
So again,
and I know I just said this, but I think it's worthy of repeating. Your brother never knew him.
No, he was still in my mom's belly. She was pregnant
when your biological father went off to get a prescription for her and just never came back.
No, never came.
So your brother goes in, meets him, and then what? Does he come back to the car and say, okay, you guys can come on in now? Or did you just give him some time and then you went in on your own?
Well, my cousin Doris lived on the first floor. It was like a house apartment. So we were at Doris's.
Okay.
And then we went up. I'm not a hugger. Carl's a hugger. Mm-hmm. So I think she did that. I'm standoffish, you know? So mm-hmm. I was just being myself. But it was just weird.
Were you like eyeing him up and down and like taking it all in? Did you immediately see the splits?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He said that he had a problem with alcohol and that he just caught an 18-wheeler out of Baltimore. He landed in the Catskills at one point in time and then just made his way to Brooklyn.
And stayed there and stayed disconnected from everyone back in Maryland.
Yes.
Wow. So that was his reason. And not to undermine the unfortunate power that alcohol can have over people, but that was his reason, that he struggled with alcohol and the pressures probably of, okay, now I got 3 children. Wow. So your reaction, even to that, what was the first thing that you felt?
Yeah, okay. I mean, because I know people. Okay. I mean, you know, it was a coward way to live, right? I mean, you got this girl, and my mom was like super crazy about him because, like, you know, cousin Loretta used to tell us. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, my father was her uncle, right? So she'd tell him, you know, how he would
say that again. Whose father was whose uncle?
Loretta's mom and my father are siblings. So that was her uncle. Right. She grew up. Right. I mean, and like my mother was crazy about him. So it's just like, it was a coward way to live, right? It's a coward way to live. You don't even know if the baby she was carrying lived or died. You don't know. Did she die in childbirth? You know nothing.
Well, and he went to get a prescription that she needed. I mean, my older sister needed,
and then my mother had to eat. She had to eat crow from all the folks at University of Maryland Clinic, where you go for free because you're poor and black in Baltimore City. And then she had to listen to mother. You knew the importance of that prescription, you know. So she's got to eat all of that too. So she's got to struggle with 3 kids. And okay, all right.
So when you told your mother that your biological father was in town, that you were going to meet him, what was her reaction?
Okay. Like she, my mother had a good life. My mother married a man that was super crazy about her. You know what I'm trying to say? Instead of being married to a man you were super crazy about.
Right.
So she was like, okay. I mean, one time Carlin was in the market with him and my parents were in this, happened to be in the same market. And Carl was really? Like, Daddy, this is my father.
Listen.
You know,
so, and that right there, those introductions.
This yes. is my dad, Robert, you know, so she had that awkward time.
Wow. Wow. But your mother did not try to discourage you all from meeting.
No, never. And actually
despite
she
what
never,
he did.
You know what? Actually, she never said anything bad about him. She'll say, you'll find out whatever you need to know. She just didn't.
Is that right?
She, honestly, Lord, she just didn't. She didn't.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, she told her stories, but she didn't tell them to be a put down. She was just saying, because my mother has a motto, always educate yourself so you can take care of you and your children. Because a man can be with you today, but your children are with you always.
Amen, amen to that. Wow.
So.
And she knew that. She learned that firsthand.
Right. So, yes.
Wow. So she wasn't bitter. She didn't try to discourage you. She didn't try to speak badly of him and say, you don't need to meet him. She was fine with it. And like you said, she, thank God, was blessed with what sounds like a wonderful man who
she
really
sure
loved
enough
her.
Did.
So
yeah.
She knew that her life was better off, you know,
right.
You know, those years of struggling were behind her and she had a wonderful life. And so you go in there, you said, you're not a hugger. So did you ever hug him even when you left?
I don't think that day. No. I mean, no. And then, talk off and on, he would call. Mm-hmm. He would call me. I mean, I'm good.
Yeah, right.
I was good. And then when was Carmen died on 9/11?
Carmen?
The girlfriend in New York where he was living.
Okay, okay.
And so I think he was having conversations with Loretta, his niece, because she lived in a senior building.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually he decided, well, he would come down. And,
so
you know,
he moved back to Baltimore.
Moved back to Baltimore. And then I found out he's got a little extra baggage.
Okay. And so you meet him in April of whatever that year was.
Uh-huh.
You have mostly a long distance phone relationship.
Yeah.
And then how, and so you said that his girlfriend Carmen died on 9/11. We know that was in 2001?
Two.
9/11 happened in 2002?
Mm-hmm. I think.
No, I think it was 9/101. I want to say it was
okay. Okay. Yeah.
And so there were, what, 4 years or so between you meeting him for the first time and him coming back to Baltimore?
Right. It seems like that long. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so over those 4 years, who talked to him regularly? Doesn't sound like you did.
I think primarily Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I think primarily her. But he would call me. I mean, if he called, I mean, I didn't ignore the phone call.
Sure.
But it was primarily her.
Sure. And at what point, over that time period, you did not know that he had another child? Over that 4 year time period when you were communicating by phone?
It was sometime within that we found out.
Okay. And how'd that happen? How'd you find that out?
I think he just told us. I mean, I don't think we questioned, did he have any more children?
Did you wonder if he had? I mean, because a whole generation had gone by. So did you wonder, did you have any more children? Do we
I
have
think
any
we
brothers
asked
and sisters?
Something. But you know what? After talking to him, like, through this, he didn't have a great life. Like,
after he left your mom and you.
Right. Like, I can't find it. I was going to find it to read to you what I read at his funeral that I wrote. But basically, he never owned a home.
Mm.
He wasn't educated. Mm. He lived in a rooming house most of his life. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like how you rent a room.
Right.
And you're not saying Kim and Carmen had a one bedroom together. He never learned to drive. So basically, even at his funeral, I was basically thanking him for
leaving.
Moving on.
Did you at the funeral?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it was, I wrote it like as a, like, it wasn't mean spirited, but no. It was like, we, with him leaving, we had Aunt Elizabeth. We knew who we were. We knew we were Neils. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew that we came from St. Mary's County. We knew that Uncle Thomas still was down there on the farm. We knew those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't learn them from him. And so mm-hmm. if he did have a drinking problem that he didn't control till much later, who knows what kind of life he would have had. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. No, there was a blessing in him leaving. There, a former pastor of mine had this great saying. It's from 30 years ago that I will never forget. He would always say, thank God and Greyhound. So listen, thank God and Greyhound.
Yes. Thank God and Greyhound.
Or in his case, thank God and the
18-wheeler. God and the 18-wheeler. Thank you,
that
Lord.
He went up because you all were better for it, including your
we
mom.
Were all better
you were better
for
we were it. Better. But there is something, and I've spoken to this in other episodes and with other guests, that there is something within us, I think that's just innately a part of our humanity that has a curiosity, if not a longing, to know who we came from.
Right.
It's just not to say that you need them to be a parent, but you need to know who you came from. And so in your case and in your family's case, at least you did know his family.
Right.
So you're able to connect some dots, maybe learn some things about your own medical history.
Right.
But there's still a longing to know who got me here.
It is. I mean, you hear these little stories, and usually his parent, his family stories, they were lighthearted. You know, they weren't army stories.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you always, as a kid, you like, what if he's rich? What if he's rich? What if he comes back? Yeah.
What if I find out that he's a millionaire and all these years I could have had some money? I know about the whole fantasizing. I may have mentioned in one of my episodes that I was like, Diana Ross, is that my money? Because I mean,
yeah, right. What if
you guys and the whole bit, we both sing, but yeah. So until you know the truth, you make up your own story.
You make up your own. Here's the thing, my dad's family. There was no daylight between my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and at least my grandfather on that side.
Really?
None. Like when I went to nursing school and I went to South Baltimore General, I stayed with my father's brother and wife, my aunt and uncle in Cherry Hill. I went every Sunday and I stayed there to go to school there early on Monday morning. Yeah, no daylight.
So they were
my family.
A very functioning part of your life and your family, which is beautiful. But also it begs the question, nobody knew where he was.
I mean, nobody. And I mean, really, nobody.
Yeah. And maybe even if they suspected, they knew how better off all of you were.
Well, we didn't have anybody in New York. I mean, it would have been saner if he had gone down to St. Mary's County, because
right.
he had a, like out of all those kids there, my Uncle Thomas was one who didn't leave and come up to Baltimore or went to DC. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could have just hit out there. I mean, you know, but I don't know.
Wow. And so let's fast forward to when you found out that you had a brother. Was this something that you were told over the phone, in person? Did you go over there and he was there? How did that come about?
No, basically, he was down, I think, visiting again. And basically, my brother said, if you say we have a brother, where is he? How come we haven't met him?
Oh. So he mentioned that he had a son, but nobody ever saw him.
No, not even pictures.
Huh. Until?
Until he did. But guess what? Jerome didn't know about us.
He didn't?
So Jerome
is your brother's name. That's your father's son by another relationship that he had after he left you all. And Jerome, nor his, I guess, no, his mother, didn't know. Wait a minute.
This is interesting because I had to do a little dig for you. So when I talked to Jerome to say, seriously, like, when did you know about us? He said, when his mother was dying. He never met him.
Wait
until he got married.
So your father, your biological father, I like to make that distinction, he did not raise Jerome.
Either.
Thank you for finishing that sentence. Because he didn't raise you all. He didn't raise Jerome. So, and Jerome did not know who he was until he got older.
His father came to his wedding. He said his mother always knew where he was in Brooklyn, but he didn't know who him. He said, I saw pictures of me with a man that I had never met. I still wasn't told that that was my father. He came to my wedding.
Wow. And said, hello, I'm your father. What?
His mother introduced him at the wedding. And he said he didn't know about us until his mother was on her deathbed and took my biological father's hand and Jerome's hand and put it together and said, tell him about the family. He needs to know.
Wow. Wow. So that's when he learns about you on his mother's deathbed, literally, it, like her dying breaths, it sounded like. But sometimes he didn't know where you all were, I'm assuming, unless your father divulged all of that.
Everything, right.
He did.
But he had no idea.
Wow. Did your father, after showing up at his wedding, at Jerome's wedding, did he then start and maintain a relationship with him?
No.
He did not.
No. It was sporadic, he said.
Yeah.
And then Jerome had some demons of his own.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like my father kept in contact with Jerome's wife, even when they weren't together. So he had at least met those grandkids, you know, things like that. But it was still sporadic, you know.
Right.
But
that's right. He had grandchildren. He had grandchildren that he had not met. After meeting all of you, did he meet your children? Did they meet their bio granddad?
Mm-hmm. Now my son will say right out, I said, I think my nieces, Carl's kids, I think they call him grandpa. And maybe David's daughter. Jay would just talk. He wouldn't call him anything.
He wouldn't address him with any label.
No, he's as Ari as I am. Yeah. He just talks at Jay.
Avoided that. But you said that your sister Carol called him, she would call him dad.
Yeah. I was, she would go to his apartment. She would take him shopping when he moved here, to the market. She's a good person. He would come to my house for cookouts. My father was still alive. My dad was still living. And he would come.
Did you refer to him as dad? Like when you had to address him, would you say, if you had to call him from across the room, would you say, what would you say? How would you call him? How would you address him? Or did you avoid having to put a label on
it? I think most times I avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we would say Henry, but it wouldn't even be rude. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah, I think I would. I think my husband called him Henry. I don't know. I can't. It's like, the whole thing was just so bizarre.
Oh my goodness. You're talking about the queen of bizarre. Because I never fully embraced giving my biological parents the label of mom and dad. I never fully embraced it. When I'm talking about them, like I will say, Mom Marion, I met her many years after meeting Marion. So I never addressed him with a label at all, except for Herb. But it was just kind of odd. I just didn't, it was like, it wasn't natural.
Right. And you don't have any muscle memory to do that. Like you don't. So like, I think I just kind of talked, but I mean, like I never went to his apartment by myself. It was like, if I would drag my girlfriend with me or something, but I would never go alone.
Yes. Because at the end of the day, you had a wonderful father, the man who raised you, the man who loved your mother so much so that he would take a TV part with him and hold on to it for all his life. That is such a beautiful statement of his love and adoration for your mother and her children. You all became his children. Did you ever take his last name?
No. Okay. We stayed Neils. We stayed Neils. My mom never told us what to call him. It went from, I think it went from Mr. Bobby to Daddy Bobby to Daddy, but she never, I can almost say that was it, but she never told us what to call
him. She let it just be very organic, very natural, whatever came out. I've never met your mother. Obviously she's passed on, but she sounds like such a wonderful woman.
She was.
In all of her, attributes, and not bad mouthing him and not trying to discourage you from meeting him, and then not telling you what to call him. She let it happen very naturally and organically, and it sounded like it did. Well, listen, thank you. Wow.
Wasn't that an amazing story of courage, survival, a mother's love, a father's struggle, and a family's love and forgiveness? At the end of the day, that's what it's all about: forgiveness, redemption, and grace. So listen, maybe you have an amazing story that you'd like to share. And if you do, please know that this is a safe space for you to share it. You don't have to use names, not even your own if you don't want to, but I guarantee you your story will help to uplift someone and possibly set a few folks, maybe even you, free. So email me at churchsecretspodcast@gmail.com. That's churchsecretspodcast@gmail.com. Come on, and let's just talk. Oh, one last thing. Many of you know that in addition to hosting this podcast and a whole lot of other things that I do, I also serve as the executive director at Afro News, the nation's number one Black newspaper in print and online. The October 15th edition of the Afro will be of special interest to you, my Secrets audience, as the entire edition is devoted to people seeking and finding out about their ancestry, their biological roots, and the many ways that people have done so. So log on to afro.com. That's A-F-R-O. You know, those big afros like we used to wear? Yeah. A-F-R-O.com. And while you're there, pick up a subscription. Okay, that's all for now. And until the next time, and as always, be blessed.
You have been listening to Secrets of the Churched, Reveal to Heal, a production of Be Inspired Global Media. If you have been burdened by a church secret and want to be free and healed, please email us at churchsecretspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Church Secrets Podcast. Look for new episodes of Secrets of the Church every Friday. And remember, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.